One Jesuit who was very well known for his preaching, in fact, they often would kid that no homily of his didn't end up in a book somewhere. His name was Walter Burkhardt. And Walter used to say, if you don't read the newspapers and don't watch the news on television or wherever, you shouldn't stand up and preach, because he won't have a clue. And he was really right. Although I will say this week, not having a clue might be easier than what we've seen in government and church issues and things of that sort. But you know, the scriptures were not written when there was nothing going on. There was always some problem that was addressed in writing the scripture. Now, in our first reading, we see them ready to enter the land of Canaan. And he's saying to them, well, are you going to go back and believe the gods we had before under the Egyptians, basically? Or do you want to use the gods of Canaan? Or do you want to follow the God who has led us and provided for us coming here? And the answer, from his side anyway, is, for me and my family, we will follow the God who brought us here. Now, today I don't think that anybody could stand there as the husband or the head of the clan and say, my family's all coming with me, because that doesn't happen. And we really are no longer a patriarchal society where anybody would accept that from us. So you have to learn what? To do your own and come to an understanding. And that's really one of the things we see in the when we recite the creed these days. What do we say? I believe. Because none of us can simply say we believe and have the same meaning for all of us. But it's a matter of personal ownership. And what do we see? The same thing, basically, in what Peter says. Peter says, we believe. Where else can we go? And yet, if you understood society in Jesus' time, you could only speak when it came to a crowd that was following someone. You could only speak for yourself. So then he was going to have to go to each of the others and have them say, in truth, I will follow you. There isn't any other place to go. So how we managed through the years to understand each of us has to make a commitment one way or another. And with all that's going on in the church these days, you know, it's tough to think that everybody is going to still stay, because some will just say, I can't follow with what's going on. That will be sad, but it will happen. And sometimes people who are on the edge do drift off at those times. They can't learn somehow to stay and learn that there's still so much good to be gained despite what we've been through, and especially as we look at the last week. And I certainly would not want to be Pope Francis. I think that this whole thing's going to kill that poor old man, because it's so much stress that he has to face. And yet, he's there and willing to face with stress all that needs to be done. He's really a great man for the current state of the church and of life in general. But when we hear Jesus, we have to say, I accept, I will only be home if I'm here among your people who believe that you are present in your body and blood. And it's not simply other miracles, but the presence of Christ that keeps us gathered each time. Now I want to go to the second reading, which probably raised some hassles here and there. Wait a minute, read the whole thing. What's wrong with those words about being subordinate? Well, you know, for one thing, when you look at that, if we took out all the words that people saw as being some they didn't like, we'd probably end up with as the only thing left from Scripture. But we also have to look at when Paul was writing truly about the church. And he was writing in the sense that they had of marriage in his day. And he was writing in Greek, and he was writing in long sentences, and when they broke them up, there were some issues with how they end up with the whole thing stated, but it's there. And I still, when I do pre-marriage work, will run into somebody, mostly people who want to be literalists about scriptures, and say, I'm going to be the head of my household. And they go, yeah, right, fella. Because it says so in the scriptures. It says so if you read it wrong. I don't like when that reading is used at weddings because people are misunderstanding. Paul is really saying to us that you must be subordinate to one another. If you are husband and wife, you have to be subordinate to one another. You have to have the same sense of looking after one another as a farmer does after crops and animals. What do we call it when they handle their crops and animals? We call it animal husbandry. Well, it's really people husbandry that is in effect when we have to look after one another as people. And that's what Paul is saying, if we can bring it up to a sense that we could use today. Paul also offers us something in care and husbandry when we look at the document Laudato Si. Laudato Si is about care of the earth, care of creation as a whole. We're actually going to spend next month is the month of creation. It's a time to take a look and understand who we are on the face of this earth. Now, right now, this is where this past week has been miserable. The attempts to throw out advancements that have been made in controlling pollution and coal dust and all these kinds of things. We have some people who, for profit, want to throw all that out and go backwards. Back to some things that we can see were destructive of our earth. This, again, would be a place where Francis would be pulling his hair out, what's left of it, wondering, how do we ever get people to understand where we're to go with this earth so that it's still alive when we're done with it? I think we almost have to go to Native American spirituality. Native American spirituality says there are seven generations we have some responsibility for and within. All our people before us, for three generations, have slowly but surely put the earth together as we got it. And what we hand on has to help the next three generations. It's a wonderful sense that says, oh, I can't destroy it and say, who cares about the next generation? The Native Americans said, no, it goes on. It's a continuum through seven generations. That could be 140 years if we want to look at each generation being 20 years. Till there's another one along. Wow. We have to take care of this. We have to take care of it each and every day in all that we do. So that's a matter of husbandry that has to happen within marriage too. We look after one another. We cannot simply think we are going to rule ever. It's just not going to happen. Not if we're good as spouses. Not if we're good as staff of parishes, would look after one another and help one another. So that's our coming month, the month of creation care. But creation care isn't just the earth, as I sort of indicate as I'm going through this. Creation care is about each one of us on our own. Coming to a sense of, when I look at the earth, when I look at what's around me, maybe taking time in prayer and reflection. And sometimes, if you don't have allergies, just go sit down outside and see what's around you. We're at a wonderful time of year. Monarchs are heading south. The male hummingbirds are heading south. In fact, they're asking in this one particular thing, let us know if you still see male hummingbirds, because they will go south, and then the females and youngsters will also go. So I keep watching my feeder. We look at the trees and flowers. They're aging. They're coming to completion of their cycles. We're going through the same kinds of things. I don't think I'm running out of cycle yet, but I'm aging too. Yes, thank goodness. But in addition to that, take care of ourselves with what we eat and how much, and whether we exercise or not, to stay healthy, because we're part of that creation that has to be cared for each and every day. So Paul is not simply saying something that we can apply only to a sense of marriage in his time, but everything we do as people relating to one another. And Francis certainly has given us a challenge to do that with the whole earth and our place on the earth and as caregivers of this earth. It's a challenge. It was a challenge to Joshua. Are we all going to believe? It was a challenge to Jesus, who one of the writers said, you should almost read his, are you staying or not, with tears in your eyes. Well, you didn't get that far. Tears in your eyes, because Jesus would have been almost afraid that he was losing everyone who followed him. He was a human being, after all, and he saw all of this human response to what he had to say. And then finally, care. Together caring for one another, for earth, and all in the name of Jesus, who we receive in the sacrament of the Eucharist. True bread and wine, true body and blood of the Lord who came, lived for us, showed us the way, and says, go, go and live and be careful of this earth. It's the only one you've got.